Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
You're listening to the Jay Bird Watching Podcast, the official podcast of jaysjournal.com and fansided.com, where we discuss all things Toronto Blue Jays baseball. We'll talk about news, rumors, and game recaps. So whether you're a diehard fan or just getting started with the team, this is the podcast for you. Here's your host, Craig Borden, with co-hosts Jason Lyons and me, Ken Alfred. You're listening to the Jay Bird Watching Podcast.
Good evening, Blue Jays fans, and welcome to the hype that is the 2023 trade deadline. And for Blue Jays fans so far, this has already been pretty exciting with a giant acquisition here for not giving up a ton, but we're going to get to that in just a few minutes after I say hello to my co-hosts, Ken Alfred, Jason Lyons. How are we doing this evening?
Doing all right. I mean, something's happening tomorrow. I don't know
what's happening. Big deadline thing. It's not a biggie. You know, it's not like the team could either get a ton better or stay the same or become the New York Mets, I guess would be the other defining line. So there is that. Not a big deal.
Yeah, it's hey guys, it's an exciting time. You got to love it when there's a buzz in the air and, you know, there could be some bombs dropped tonight. I'm still hoping for maybe one more additional piece, you know, to come the Jays' way. I do like some of the moves they've made. I do like some of the room that they've made by moving some guys downwards. But I don't know that even to this point if there's any massive winner or massive loser so far. I mean, I know the White Sox can't get rid of people fast enough. It's like the building's on fire, but. I mean, I feel like the way that where the Jays are situated, they're sitting pretty right now, and they've got the availability to make a couple of moves. It's not gonna, you know, if they don't get a guy like Tim Anderson, if they don't, you know, maybe look at a few others, and it's not gonna kill them certainly. But that being said, it would be really, 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 really nice to get one additional bat.
So you're looking for them to put a bow on it this evening.
I think so,
I'm hearing, Mr. Lyons. Okay. Yep. So why don't we talk about how we got here as we're getting a photo bombing from some little gentleman. It's always good seeing you, Gabe. But anyways, so on that note, the fun here is the Blue Jays fans, like I said, have gotten a chance to, you know, get something really big, but there hasn't been a ton of smoke and fire going on up to this point. Honestly, this thing with Jordan Hicks came out of nowhere, in my opinion. I really didn't see this coming. I was very happy with what the Blue Jays scored with Genesis Cabrera, and we've seen very much why he can be a big piece to this club, being a hard throwing lefty out of the bullpen, especially this past weekend. That was the first brick to fall. And now as we continue rolling down the dominoes, we have the Blue Jays landing Jordan Hicks. Guys, this might turn out to be a steal for the Blue Jays. If Jordan Hicks is continuing to be what Jordan Hicks has been, the Blue Jays only give up Sem Roberts and Adam Klopfenstein. Both guys have been prospects, and the key word is prospects because the potential is all the way up here on both those guys. The problem is they're kind of hanging around in here.
Yeah.
So steal, in my opinion. Yes, is Hicks a rental? Yes. But it couldn't have come at perfect timing with Jordan Romano being on the injured list and having somebody like that, Hicks just to vroom, right into that. Perfect.
Was he even on a radar? I don't even think he was on our radar the last few
years. I mean, it's right? we certainly haven't talked about him, but I, you know, this is why we do this and get paid nothing. And that's why guys in the head office get paid, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars. Well, not nothing.
Keystone Ice box of beer worth of money that we get to pay for this platform that we all talk on every week. Break even.
So, I mean, I think that both of those deals have both been very, very good. Cabrera has been great. I mean, he looks the part. I like the fact that he's sort of coming in with the hair going wild, and you know, he's got that super cool 44 glove, and he's just, I mean, he just looks like the kind of guy that you get at the trade deadline. Like, he looks like something like a bit of a project, but he seems to have fit right in. He seems to be, you know, sort of when you see him chit chatting, he's right in with the guys, and he has performed well as a Blue Jay so far. And you know, I think that the big thing for me is I certainly didn't see Jordan Hicks. I didn't see him on the radar. I didn't see him at all. But dude throws hard. I mean, hard.
He has a pitch this season 104 miles an hour on the record.
Yeah. I mean, and he doesn't, it's not like he's waving off fastball to go to different pitches. He's going to cram that thing down your throat until you can't take it anymore. And it's phenomenal. I love the guy. Like, what a great, honestly, I was really excited about it because I knew a little bit about him and I knew he was a fireballer, but then to go and read, and now he hasn't had a great record this year, you know, technically for wins and losses, but he seems to be put into bad situations. And based on the quality of work, he's done a really good job getting himself out of those situations most times with not a lot of defense if you go look at the games.
Yeah,
to that point, he has been a closer.
Yeah. And doesn't he actually, I could have sworn I remember reading that he's actually like a ground ball pitcher or something like that. So a lot of the pitches, if they make contact, it's going to be hitting the ground. So he doesn't give up a lot of home runs, to my knowledge.
No. Right? And that plays really well to the Jays. The Jays need ground ball hitters. They a lot of times what you'll hear coaches say is hit for or pitch for contact. You want them to hit the ball because you've got your hard stuff is so hard that if they get around to it, I mean, awesome. They're probably going to hit it out. If somebody barrels a ball from him at 103 or 102, it's more than likely gone. And if it isn't, it'll leave a 2-foot hole going out the other side on you when it, you know, when it passes through you. But that being said, his off-speed stuff, because it counters speed. So you go to a plus 100 and then back down to like 89 and you just can't barrel these things. So you're hitting them straight down into the dirt and, you know, routine ground balls for your infield. Or, you know, Texas leaguers, fairly easy outs, but I think he's a real, and you know, to be honest with you, I know he's a rental, but I wouldn't be surprised if the Jays don't throw something at him if he has a successful run here.
Yeah. He spells perfect compliment to Jordan Romano after out of that bullpen, and along with Swanson and all these guys. You think about all of a sudden having him and thrown into this mix, guys. This is going to become a crazy bullpen if you all of a sudden have Hicks. Romano throws the ball hard. Eric Swanson's got some crazy nasty stuff. Then you throw Nate Pearson, who has rejoined the team back. And there's all of a sudden a lot of power in the back end of that bullpen. That's going to be quite enticing for however, you know, Schneider wants to play around with that piece of this puzzle. And I'm very curious to see where it goes. And especially now having another lefty, some of this with Chances Cabrera. There's a lot of good stuff going on in the Blue Jays bullpen where we talked about a few weeks ago. This was starting to look like a weakness with the fact that Jimmy Garcia wasn't quite performing. You had more or less Trevor Richards being the anchor to this bullpen because even Jordan Romano's was showing parts that he was maybe not the all-star that he was at the beginning of the season, or was at least finally getting tired out a little bit. Obviously, now it's starting to look like those were back issues.
So does that mean then? So who are we missing then? So we're right now, it seems like our starting pitcher is doing all right. Like, I think Ryu's coming back soon. And now we have a stronger closing section. Tuesday, yes. So then I guess, is the missing piece right now just that middle relief? And is there anyone we could potentially pick up to cover that that's currently available?
I think that's where the Cabrera and the Hicks piece fills in nicely.
And I think that one of the ones that we were sort of looking at was that pitcher from Chicago. He went to
the Dodgers.
Yeah, to the Dodgers. you know,
I knew where you were going.
Yeah, it's. I feel like, you know, to your point, Ken, that they made two good moves here to bolster the middle. I feel like both guys can move around. Cabrera's already done some not so, you know, doesn't have to close, doesn't have to come in near the end. You can bring him in if somebody's struggling in the fourth and the fifth. Like, he came in to follow Manoah after he hit what's his name in the face, right? So,
yes. Oh yeah, that was nasty.
You know, it's,
we'll get
it's
to that.
But it did show that he's got some versatility and he can be put into different situations. I mean, that's, you can't even imagine what that situation is like walking into. Like, a guy's just been hit in the face. He's bleeding all over the field. It takes forever for him to get off the field. And everyone's just sitting there getting cold, watching this happen. Like, they don't, you know, they don't do anything to mitigate that. They don't try and get him off the field or anything. And
Turner
then Ward? Manoah, yeah. Or was it? Yeah. No, it's
Taylor.
Is it Turner Ward? Taylor Ward.
Taylor Ward, sorry.
You know, it's one of those things where you hate to see it happen, and the aftermath is usually something bad. Usually the next pitcher comes in, usually gives up a donut, or, you know, like, gives up a home run or two, or, you know, everybody's just unsettled. But the Jays seem to be pretty settled afterwards. And, you know, I like the fact that Manoah was very clear and very concise. And I don't know if you guys were watching it live, but two batters before, he almost hit Hunter Renfroe in the face. And then he almost hit the second baseman in the face as well. So all he was doing was that sort of the two-seamer he was throwing was coming out of his hand funny. And his release point, rather than coming straight down, his release point was sort of to the side. And it was the ball was tailing up. Like, the one that almost hit Renfroe would have been way worse than the one that hit Ward, because it would have hit Renfroe square in the face. So Renfro's a face over like this, and the other guy at least got his chin guard in the way of it. But I mean,
aside, it still sucks, from that, and I'm glad he's okay.
Yeah, I thought Manoah looked good. I mean,
leading up to that, yes, he was actually looking really good before that happened.
He lost at that inning. I agree.
Yeah.
Whatever, like, that the motions just went out, mechanics went out the window.
Yeah, and so
Snyder made the right call to pull him from that, because
you've got to get out there and get him out. I mean, it's emotional, and you know you've done damage to somebody that you didn't mean to do, and you know, it's not like that dude from, you know, like the I found this weird as well. I just, as an aside, did you guys see the player hit the catcher from the Cardinals in the head with his backswing? And then the pitcher beans him.
I heard about it, but I didn't see it.
I mean, I know it was a curveball. So I'm the batter. I swing and I make contact behind my body with the catcher's head, right? He turns, he says he's sorry. I've never seen this before. The pitcher then beamed him. He actually missed him with the first one from behind. And then the second one, I mean, it's a curveball. It's going 65 miles an hour. But 65 miles an hour hurts.
It still hurts.
He hits him with the curveball, and the guy kind of looks at him like, you know, whatever.
Is that because of that?
Big deal. But that being said, you know, it's one of those things where it's such a silly thing. And then he gets kicked out. You know, he's out of the game for a jackass move. I don't know. It just seems dumb.
And in the midst of that, if that was something that was normally retaliatory in baseball period, as Blue Jays fans, we would have seen that happen repetitively. Jose Bautista had one of the longest wings in baseball. Edwin Encarnacion was not too far behind. I go back to watching Tony Bautista. doing the same thing with the ball, where, you know, you're the pitcher right now, Jason. I'm looking straight at you like this. And then he stepped in and kind of did all of these.
Yeah. There was actually another one. I seem to watch a lot of baseball this weekend. There was another one where I think it was the Rockies got called for two intentional hits, like where they were in the box and they leaned in and took it off their elbow. And
I got you.
You know, I don't know if I've ever seen two in a game before. I think that was this weekend.
I think you barely see one.
I know.
Okay, Dorn, you wanted to wear one?
Yeah. So when can we talk about Mitch White leaving?
I was going to say,
when you guys
that might be
call
the best one so far, regardless of these pieces.
Between
in the midst of the moving things around, he was designated for assignment today. Yeah. So the Mitch White experiment is officially over at the major league level. There is a chance that he still becomes a Toronto Blue Jay, however, because if nobody claims him as a, you know, designated for assignment, his assignment would be Buffalo if he chooses to accept it. So that would be the catch. That's how that whole designated for assignment piece works.
I don't mind paying his salary. Just don't let him stay. Don't let him come anywhere near an MLB stadium unless the Jays are pitching, unless he's pitching against the Jays. And then that would be awesome.
So this is actually the same situation, yes, that Trent Thornton just did with the.
We designated
him for assignment and it turned into a trade.
Seattle, right?
With Seattle. And I don't know if he's at the major league level with Seattle, but
Seattle has made a buttload of trades. Holy monkey.
Yes. And to that point, did anybody see that when the one that was really shocking to me was the fact that they traded their closer in Paul Sewald?
Yeah, I was just about to do this. So, ladies and gentlemen.
Breaking news.
And I can't say they got a bunch of good stuff back.
No, they didn't. And it's funny because as we were sort of looking at it, I'm reading.
Four-player deal.
Yeah. And then the funny thing is if you go down and, you know, thank you, MLB Trade Rumors, for being right on top of things. Hats off to you guys. But if you go down in the article, two of the other guys, they're talking about really trying to move are Tay Oscar and Ty France. Now, I am not a Ty France guy. I think Ty France is one of the worst defensive first baseman to have ever played the game, possibly. He's awful, awful. Anyways, he has a massive bat. And so, I mean, if you have a guy like Vladdy.
DH ain't so bad.
Yeah, if you have a guy like Vladdy, who can play one all the time, I might be more inclined, but it would certainly be interesting to see if they could get Tay Oscar for a song. But what do you guys figure Seattle's trying to achieve here? Like, they seem to be wholesaling. Are they that far out?
I didn't think they were far enough out that to be selling their closer.
Me either.
And I think the only thing that they're hoping is that Andrés Muñoz comes back. You know what I mean? And they don't really lose anything. But I can't say that they really got anything. Yeah, that's the problem. You know what I mean? It's like, okay, great. Josh Rojas is a guy that's been a quadruple A player, according to what I'm reading. Dominic Canzone, I'm thinking food.
they might have been better off with a calzone.
Yes. Maybe, I don't know. And maybe one of these guys turns into something, but I'm not seeing anybody that was high-end crazy draft picks or anything that I would think would return somebody like Paul Sewald. That's the thing I don't understand, and it doesn't make a ton of sense to me. This one guy that they traded, Ryan Bliss, was a 30th round draft pick by the Boston Red Sox. He moved up and got, bet on himself in Arizona, picked him in the second round a couple of years later after some college. But, that's the guy that they went after, if anything. But, he's a left fielder.
The Mariners have just traded two more just now. Finalized the deal to get A.J. Pollock. So Giants are getting Pollock and Mathias from the Mariners.
For more minor leaguers.
Brebbia.
He was a high end draft pick at one point.
Okay, well, but AJ Pollock, I wasn't even sure he was playing baseball anymore.
Yeah, Brebbia is on a 60-day IL, and I can't say he's in his prime when he's 33 and hasn't pitched more than 30 innings in the majors. So to me, this spells full on fire sale going on with the freaking Seattle Mariners.
Yeah, it looks that way. I mean,
I really want to see what the front office people are looking at when they're making these decisions. I mean, it's just not
Seattle fans, I can tell you that.
Yeah, I just don't get it, right?
They're like, we weren't this far out of it a month ago. What the hell are you doing? And you just beat up the Blue Jays.
What's so funny is I saw the episode, the highlight of the episode, the Seinfeld episode, where he's talking about why they traded Jay Buhner to the Mariners. Oh my God. And it just makes me think of the same thing. Like, they'll lose Hernandez this afternoon and maybe another guy, and he's got a rocket up there.
That Bliss kid might be something, but he was the MVP apparently in the Futures game this year. But
yes, he was.
But still, okay, great. The Futures game can be anything from single-A guys to triple-A guys. Is he that close to that they're going to bring him up into the outfield and hope he produces right now with Julio and everybody?
I doubt it.
So anyways, let's talk anything else you would like to, other than the fact that, you know, Max Scherzer apparently is going to be competition for us now again. Oh, which
what a donkey of a deal.
So exciting.
What a donkey of a deal that is. Did you guys read the brass tacks of it?
So, oh, the fact that there's giant piles of money still being paid.
The Mets will pay all but 22.5 of Scherzer's contract. Right. And I mean, you know, Acuna is a pretty good infielder, apparently.
He is the brother of Ronald Acuna. Luis Angel.
So anyway, Max Scherzer has the right to opt out of his contract at the end of the season.
Yeah.
If he doesn't like being in Texas, he can just be like, I'm going somewhere else. And correct. I mean, he's still going to get paid
for it.
$30 million or whatever. Oh my God. How crazy.
Crazy.
So, you know, we were just talking about what is starting to look like a major or Marlins fire sale. How about what's going on in New York and Queens? That is a fire sale, I think. We also saw the Mets trade outfielder Mark Canha earlier today, too, apparently was a breaking, which was a guy we talked about on this show last week as somebody that would spell really well for our fourth outfielder. Where did he end up going? The Marlins?
Brewers.
The Brujas. That's the Brujas. A sneaky, really good pick for the Brewers, who are in a division. They could still make some serious headway.
Yep.
So that's my National League baseball team. I love the Brewers. So I got the chance to meet Bob Uecker, and he's a hell of a guy.
Yeah, he is. I think it's interesting to see some of these teams that are really going, you know, right in. Like Texas is right in, eh? Like, I mean, they are in it to win it. I'll be interested to see who else they try and acquire. I mean, they've got some pretty good pieces right now with Simeon and with Seager and did you guys see Randall Grichuk got traded? Him and somebody else got traded from the Rockies to the. It'll come.
The rumor was going to be Yankees for a bit.
No, nope, it's not. It's not. It's I want to say Dodgers, but I might be wrong.
It might be
Dodgers. Where is it? Hold on. Here it is. Last night trades of Randall Grichuk and to the Angels. Grichuk and Cron. That's two heavyweights.
CJ Cron.
Yeah.
The Cron Zone gets to go to his old backyard, actually. That's where he used to play. He had some good years with them.
Yeah, he did. And I mean, it's nice to see Grichuk is having a pretty good year, actually. I never liked him leaving. I was actually quite a big Randall Grichuk guy. I thought he reminded me of sort of Cody Bellinger light back then. And, you know, he hit the ball hard and played the infield or outfield really well. And so good luck in Anaheim.
Yeah. And I hope not too much good luck, because all of these things that are going on in Anaheim have just solidified the fact that Shohei Ohtani is not going anywhere. Trade for Lucas Giolito and Rodriguez from the White Sox. You don't trade for Grichuk and Cron if you aren't going for it.
Well, I don't think that they could not try. I feel like Shohei has made indications probably to the Angels that he might not be coming back. If that's the case, then they're trying to put all their chips in now, because what they were probably asking for was way too much for anyone to give them right now. Yeah. And then, so you put that, except for maybe the Yankees. The Yankees might have been able to throw a bunch of stuff at it just to get them for the rest of the season.
How good was the stuff, though? Their minor league system, because they're not going to trade. They'd have to trade their two best guys that are pretty much playing for their team right now.
Right. And maybe that's the prospects. Case. Maybe the price was just too steep for anybody to want to take a chance on you know, Shohei for that. He's got the fingernail issue, and now he's got this leg cramping that is apparently affecting him almost every game.
I still can't get that out of my head.
A yard bomb every single time he's a threat to go up. Are we going to talk about Chapman yelling at the skip as well? It's been a long weekend.
So, and this is the fun of what's going on right now, because there is just craziness going on for Toronto Blue Jays fans right now between the trade deadline, the extra crazy effort that's happened over the last week here. It's been an interesting week. There's been just enough peppering and enough good things. And honestly, I got a whole conversation canned up for that Matt Chapman thing that I wanted to throw at you, but I want to finish this trade deadline talk first before we go too far, because that was my first focus of the whole show. This team, as we sit right now, just those two acquisitions, really lengthening out this bullpen, especially once you get Romano healthy. Do you guys think, would if those are the only things that happen in Blue Jays land this trade deadline, do you think we're a better team than we were a week ago?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah,
I think so.
if it was over right now, this second, I would probably give them a B+. Having not seen anything yet from Jordan Hicks, just going on the what I've seen so far, it's two good trades for two good pitchers. I feel like they're both going to help us, and really, like I said, if they get one more bat, I think awesome. If not, I think they're going into the dark part of summer, as I like to call it, with all guns blazing. I mean, they got Ryu back. They've got a healthy, a mostly healthy pitching staff. They have a very healthy team right now. Springer hasn't hurt himself in at least a month. I think what we're counting on now is the more the Jays players get hurt, the better they come back. It's like they're doing some sort of a Frankenstein thing again. Danny Jansen just mashing the ball when he comes back. And same with Kirky, he gets hit in the hand and he comes back and starts mashing again. And
Maple Leaf, can't go wrong.
So on that note, Ken, do you have anything you'd like to add to that? Because it definitely cannot hurt to add a guy like Jordan Hicks, who has a 12.7 strikeouts per nine innings right now. That's only, I think that might be leading the Blue Jays outside of Trevor Richards right now.
Yeah.
Might be the only one that's close to that.
He gives us added depth for our closers, and we need that right now because, like you said, Romano's showing some wear and tear for this part of the season. So having Hicks in there that could potentially close off a few games, or they can even alternate when Romano is back, and you said Nate Pearson as well could potentially be a setup guy as well to try and do it. So as long as if we're ahead, it seems like we got a good core of closers that that can help us out.
Yes, I believe we're heading in the right direction too. And honestly, guys, this is the one area I think I called out a few weeks ago, that if they really focused on the bullpen and the starters keep doing what they've been doing, even if you get Romano into the fourth or fifth inning, like we've kind of been getting, or not Romano, Manoah the fourth or fifth inning, it spells success.
Uh-huh.
Because right now, everybody else has been clicking really well. It seems like they've been having trouble getting out of the gate every starting pitcher so far. And I think tonight's another perfect example of that, is Bassett just got beat up for two runs in the first inning against the Orioles this evening. But in the midst of that, they've locked it in. We saw that same thing with Barrios yesterday, and they found a way to win, and against some good teams over the last week too. That's the thing that I find the most intriguing piece of this whole thing. Did we have a shit series with the Mariners? Yes. But did they find a way to put it over the last week? They, went 4-2 over the last week. That is perfect. Yeah.
We won the series that we were talking about. Like you said, we were struggling last week and we had a great showing in LA and, taking 2 of 3 and then another 2 of 3. So we're making the right steps. And I think, like I said, as long as we're winning a series or splitting a series, we're good.
Yeah, I 100% agree. I mean, if they can, and especially to go, to go as well as they did against the Dodgers, who are arguably one of the best teams in baseball right now. They're hot. The Jays look incredible against them. And then, they go in against Shohei and they beat them. I mean, I feel like there's a lot of things going right now, like a lot of the things that you want to go right. Like we could talk to no end. We could just have a show. If there wasn't a trade deadline tomorrow, there could just be a show about Bo Bichette and Whit Merrifield. I mean, it is asinine what those two guys are doing right now. It's like they're playing a different sport. Like I'll give it to some guys like Otani and Mike Trout and Aaron Judge. And there's good baseball players out there. I challenge you to find two better guys right now in the whole league. Maybe
they're hotter.
Acuna and those two are the hottest things in baseball right now. Like they're just unreal.
I quote one of my favorite stupid comedies in Zoolander. They're so hot right now.
Oh yeah, they're the Hansel. They certainly are the Hansel of the MLB right now.
It might be a walk-off. Just saying.
I'm an Ambi Turner.
Yeah, and isn't Merrifield also a restricted free agent or something like at the end of the season too? So.
He's got a one-year contract option, I think. I think he's a J for one more year past this, and then he has an option for two after that or something like that.
Yeah.
Which I can't see
the options lay.
Yeah, I can't see them not, unless, I mean, his stock is like skyrocketing right now. So let's just hypothetically say you get through the end of this season, they have a good playoff run, you know, maybe even we do it all. The Whit Merrifield's value at the end of this season is going to be ultra high for a guy who's not, you know, maybe one of your key cogs. Like, maybe he becomes a very tradable piece in the offseason, and you can really go out and get like a strange feeling
he's going to take his option. It's a mutual option, by the way, and it's for $18 million, which is a doubling and some what his current pay is.
Unless
the Blue Jays turn it down, and right now I can't say they would, unless they literally just want to save the money. But for what he's been to this team, he has been that igniter. You know, I'm going to quote something here, and I'm doing this to get a reaction. Remember when Paul Molitor came in 1993 and what he did for this lineup? It's very looking much in game wise what Whit Merrifield is doing. And to the fact that he's also in the batting race, just like Molitor was that year, I think it's very, very intriguing. Yeah, you know, the game's changed a lot since 1993, but he is that spark plug that this lineup needed. And segue points, Jason, because I wanted to talk about how he's now the leadoff guy.
Yeah, well,
I was going to say he's starting now. Like, he's the first one.
I don't know how you could deny him. I mean, you could see it coming. Like, what is he? He's hitting. He's almost hitting 500 over the last 30 days.
Is that what it was? I knew it was high.
480 something or something like that. It's insane. And so, you know,
30 days. Yeah, he's batting 365 over the last 30 days.
It's nuts. And, you know, he keeps getting on base. He keeps the turning. That's the most important thing. And George Springer is an excellent leadoff guy. He turns the order over a lot. He gets to the two and the three a lot. And he's been doing it less and less and less. But it just seems like, to me, he's just not hitting the ball as hard as he was a month ago. Like, he's still making contact, but they're Texas leaguers and the guys are catching them quite easily. He's not hitting the ball out. And you can see it on his face. You can see he's missing. But I feel like he's still had a pretty good, you know, a pretty good run for the last couple of weeks. He gets on. He's still fast
enough. He's doing his game.
I think that point, if Paul Molitor ever could take anything from Whit, it would have been his speed. Like, I mean, holy Moses, is that guy
fast.
Which is saying something, because Paul Molitor was no slouch on the base.
No.
There's a reason he's a Hall of Famer. Yeah. I'm just saying. I'm not saying that that's what Whit Merrifield has become. I'm just thinking those two seasons are very, very similar in where things are for both those gentlemen.
Yes.
The fact that Whit Merrifield is having every measure of his being, this is a career year for him. And to your point, how can you push him anywhere else? You couldn't contain him in that leadoff spot. And this is what every good player does at that point. They force the manager's hand. He couldn't stay where he was in the batting lineup. He's too valuable right now to not have hitting in front of Bo, Vladdy, and company. And to that fact, George Springer is going to be just fine.
Oh, yeah.
And he'll be fine. All know that. Always. But having him in that fifth spot or so, what's the problem?
None. And it's like Kiermaier asking to stay in the nine spot. Like, I was actually surprised for a bit there they didn't move him up, because he was hitting well. He's fast. And so what you were running into is Bichette hits the ball to the outfield a lot. And you almost want to have somebody like Kiermaier who's on. And now that's Whit, because Whit is significantly faster than George on the bases. I don't know if they were to race who would be faster. But on the bases, Whit Merrifield is faster than George Springer. Yeah. I think
he's been on the force named he's the fastest. Just remember that.
So it's it's one of those things where you have to be able to generate those runs. And like, I even saw it in the, you know, in the Angels, the last Angels game there. Like, I mean, you know, Bo's on two and he is rounding three coming home as that ball lands, basically. Like, and that's what you need. You need that kind of aggressive base running. And I mean, that was a shame of a game, you know, as I've stated many times before, that when, as soon as Jimmy Garcia gets up, you might as well pack your stuff up and leave the building, because he's either giving up a tater or, you know, or many taters.
Somebody has finally come back to form, by the way, very nicely. As we put him on blast of many a times in the show. It's just like, what is going on, guy? Go back to the low leverage shit, you know? But anyways, I think you're right. And I don't know, have you guys seen what the lineup card looked like tonight, other than the fact that I would make the argument that, you know, how hot Kirk and Jansen are, that neither of them are benchable at this point. But it's Merrifield, Bichette, Brandon Belt, Vladdy, Matt Chapman, Varsho, Kirk, Biggio, Kiermaier. There's not a lot of room to hide in that lineup at this point. Biggio, I think, is your one hiding spot.
Yeah. And he has,
and to that point, he runs into enough.
Yeah.
He runs into enough. That's the catch. And right now, you talk about guys that might not be here in the, you know, very near future. If something crazy happens, I think the Espinal Biggio is one. If you're looking for the major leaguer to be included in a trade, unfortunately, you're looking at one of those two guys.
For sure.
Yeah.
But I think the Blue Jays have enough good things in their minor league system to offset that with Ernie Clement, Nathan Lucas, those kind of people to come right back into this lineup and augment that rather quickly, unless you get that outfielder that you're looking for back in that trade or whatever it might be. Maybe it's the Teoscar thing. I don't know. To that point, I know the Teoscar thing might have some smoke to it, because yeah, if you're looking at what the Mariners are doing right now, they're going to trade him. Teoscar will not. Sure. I will be shocked if he's at the end of the trade deadline, which is more or less 24 hours from now, I think it's 22 hours and some change from when we started recording this show, that it's going to happen. He'll be on another team tomorrow.
And I don't think he wants to be there anymore.
He's a free agent anyway. So
yeah,
he's not going to be there one way or the other.
Yeah.
Should we sign him though?
I don't care if we sign him or whatever right now, because right now it would look pretty damn nice if we were able to get him back and then still keep the athleticism with Dalton Varsho. You know, it's like we won that trade hands down. You really didn't give up anything. You turned around and paid Teoscar anyways.
Yeah, exactly.
But is what it is. And I know those are two different teams I was throwing around there in the aggregate, but the fact that you could have Brandon Belt, Jansen, and then Teoscar somehow rotating in and out of the lineup in the DM.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
H spot. That's a thunderous bat all of a sudden being added. And you know somebody like Teoscar comes back in here. He's like, yeah. He's all back in business again, you know what I mean? And throwing seeds at everybody. It'll be like nothing changed. I really don't think it'd be anything too bad for him.
Interesting. So.
But anyway, I love the lineup with Witt at the top of it.
Me too.
I'm looking forward to seeing how that's gonna play.
What are they calling him now? Did you guys see that? They're calling him Big Hit Witt.
Big hit wit.
I like it. I think that
to that point,
sticks.
He's come up with plenty of big hits over the last
unreal. And
too,
it was,
so
you know what,
very,
as much as we beat the crap out of Dalton Varsho, you know, it was nice to see him get a game winner. It was nice to see him get a couple of doubles. And you want to talk about speed. Good Lord. That guy is moving when he hits the ball. He is like a little ball of thunder coming down the line. And I like it that he's sort of, I feel like maybe it's taken him this long to sort of buy into the culture. Like even when he was getting base hits before, he wasn't doing the punch, and he slid into two last night and it came up punching. And, you know, I think sometimes it just takes a little bit of time for you to get with your group. And I mean, can you imagine right now, let's just say this, what if from this point onwards, Varsho catches fire? I mean, we see what he can do. He can hit the ball out. And when he doesn't, when he hits it in the gap, it's a guaranteed double, could be a triple every time. So if you're talking about having the potential of five or six guys, that's their MO. Like that's Bo's MO. That's Witt's MO. if you get Varsho putting balls in the gaps and pushing base runners like that, and Kiermaier doing the same, I mean, you're the Rays. That's what the Rays do. They put balls on the ground where you can't get to them, and they make you try and throw them out. And these guys are major leaguers. They should throw them out more, but they don't. I mean, they're human, and they panic, and, you know, it's Little League is what it is.
Yes. So go ahead. You got anything else? I'm just going to give you more segue points. As you talk about Little League, there was some Little League shenanigans in our locker room and dugout and everything the other night. Here, Matt Chapman literally putting John Schneider on blast. And I think it sank in because we saw the game plan change very vastly after this. More or less, the cameras for, you know, all baseball media Friday night caught it because it was on Apple Podcasts. It was Friday night, correct?
Yeah. I believe so.
Yeah.
Hey, hold on. Let me just say something. I don't know if you guys have watched a game on Apple yet. The quality of the product that's being put onto Apple is so, it's like this. If this is regular, what they call 4K baseball, the Apple product is through the roof of my house and on a 767 flying to Jamaica. Like,
so I mean, just a little better.
They do not exist in the same realm. Like 4K cameras everywhere on the field, 4K, everything. The sound is incredible. There's no commercial. So when it goes, you can hear people talking. You can hear the crunch, crunch, crunch. You can see guys ripping open seed bags and stuff like that. I can't say the
announcing is anything I like.
It's terrible.
Thank you for teeing me up in the right direction.
But now you may continue with your Matt Chapman.
So on that note, we'll continue with Matt Chapman, but I want to talk about the broadcast on Sunday too, because I'm sure you guys had the whole alternative view experience through Peacock on Sunday as well, correct?
I don't know. The game was on Sportsnet here on Sunday, wasn't it?
Okay. So, because here in the States, I had to watch it on the NBC Peacock thing. It was the baseball game of the week or whatever.
Yeah,
and honestly, I enjoyed the living hell out of it because it was really cool. Because what they do is they have their own announcer that's on that every week, but then they grab the color commentators for each team. So Joe Siddle was the one sitting in for the Blue Jays with, I can't remember who it was on the.
Other guys? Is Kenny Alpert and John Smoltz? Is that who do the baseball?
I think it was Kenny Alfred. No, John Smoltz. There's three people in the booth, and it was the one gentleman. Joe Siddle and whoever, but it was really cool to get that aspect of Siddle clearly educating the other guy and them telling us about Angels guys. There was that cohesion in that, you know, that was really fun to listen to.
Yeah.
I highly recommend going and watching it if you can find it on, or some of the comments and stuff, especially during the, you know, crazy extra innings that it turned into. But let's go back to Matt Chapman. Basically, this all ensued is the fact that the Blue Jays did pitch to Shohei Ohtani. So Matt Chapman goes into the dugout and basically gets within like view of freaking John Schneider and goes, I think the quote that I'm looking at here is, why do we pitch to him? He's the fucking only guy that can hit on this team.
Did you guys see in the broadcast that was the same broadcast that where they were talking to Witt in the outfield? And he's like, I don't know why you guys keep talking to me. He's like, there's an alien in the dugout over there. And he's, you know, you got me mic'd up and you've got an alien over there you could go talk to.
Freaking nature.
I don't know if you guys read any. I watched I watched the highlight. Then I watched Schneider talk about it. Then I watched Chapman talk about it. And I mean, Chapman's a passionate guy who obviously knows baseball very, very, very well. And I think we've all been in a situation, you know, where you see a guy throw to a guy and you're like, why tempt fate? You know, don't put one anywhere near the plate. And if you walk them, you walk them. I mean, you're going to intentionally walk them anyways. In most cases, what did they do it three more times over the rest of the weekend? And, you know, of course, the situation allows for it because the second baseman was hitting doubles most of the time, or at least he was getting on and then stealing. So should you walk him? Yeah. And let me say this out loud. The intentional walk should be taken out of everything except for maybe the majors. Maybe. I still think that you leave it in there and let them pick their poison. You either got to pitch around him or you got to let the guy hit a dinger. Like, Come on. Like, nobody came. Nobody came to see a guy with four bulls. Like, come on. Do it in, like, in our 11-12, in our finals, our strongest hitter got walked. And it's so frustrating to think that does not give that kid any development. And I don't care what level you're at. If you intentionally walk somebody, you're not giving anyone any development. And you're actually saying to your pitcher, you're not good enough to beat this guy. So I think all around Major League Baseball, anybody who's listening at the Ivory Tower, get gas intentional walks, or, you know, put a point on the board. If you want to intentionally walk somebody, they get a run.
Yeah, there's some other penalty there other than a walk that could possibly be beneficial for the game.
Two guys on.
But regardless, you get
second
of that,
base and another guy goes on.
Yeah. There you go. But you know, that's an interesting take. But the fun part about this whole thing is, ironically, the way it turned out, Matt Chapman turns around and bites them in the ass as far as the Angels are concerned. Yeah. So hits a home run and gets the Blue Jays on the board and gets them going. So it worked
out. He was fired up. Yeah. Matt Chapman was in the eye black streaming.
So I have this question then. If you're John Schneider, you're just keep poking the bear to get him angry now?
No,
if it motivates him.
I think that Matt Chapman's the kind of guy that's a one-off. That hit, right. You know, hitting him angry, hitting that home run is a one-off. I think, you know, like there's very few players who play really like Joey Votto plays really well pissed off. He's even
Blue Jays
come
fans
to say
love Jose Bautista getting thrown at.
Yes,
just saying.
Yeah. So, Jose Bautista played well pissed off. You know, like, and of course, there's guys who rise to the challenge. There's lots of guys that love to be challenged. Like, if you're going to come in on me, the next one I'm going to pull right off my belt and smash it out of the park, or whatever the case may be. But, you know, I don't think that challenging Chapman again like that is the right thing to do. What I think is the right thing to do is to, you know, respect the fact that the guy's a good baseball player and, you know, if it was me, I might even jokingly the next time, you know, when the next time I was going to go make a pitching change, I'd walk over to him and I'd like point at the thing so the cameras can all get it and have him give you like the thumbs up and then go change the pitcher. Like something funny like that, where you're like, I'm only taking advice from Matt Chapman from here on out for the rest of the season. But
fine, you do it.
Yeah. I mean, I like the fact that Schneider kind of made it. I don't know if you guys saw the interview, but he made it pretty funny. And, you know, he was like, Matt's a passionate guy who knows baseball really, really well. And, you know, he made a very good point and he might've been right. And so it's one of those things where you're like, you know, you like to see it. You like to see a guy at the end of July that heated for giving up a home run that didn't kill them. Right.
Correct.
Like, I mean, if it was to lose a series or, you know,
that would have made more sense.
Yeah. But it was just Matt Chapman, you know, coming off the field.
What are we doing?
Yeah. Why are we doing that? Like, you know better. Danny Jansen knows better. The pitcher knows better. They don't know better. Don't throw to him.
Guy sitting behind home plate knows better than her. Home plate lady knows better. She's seen enough games. So, anyways, like I said, we ended up having a very good series against the Dodgers, a very good series against the Angels. I can't say there was anything outside of the fact that we gave 8 runs up to the Dodgers last Tuesday. That was really a big problem the whole weekend. We're nitpicking this thing right now because of a conversation that happened between Chapman and whatnot and Schneider, but they played a good series. And even that game where they lost 7-8, that was a crazy game to watch. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed that.
It was a very,
very
close one, yes.
Very extensively. And I was stupid enough to stay that late to watch it, but that's besides the point. I know
Jason's finally.
Yeah, exactly.
That was like a 10, 11 o'clock stop here, I think, almost.
Yeah, I stayed up because I couldn't sleep anyways. I'm like, I might as well keep watching the ball game. I have a problem.
Yeah, well,
and Blue Jays fans get the perk from it a little bit every Monday after a Monday evening at 7 p.m.
And I agree with you. It was a frustrating. You know, it was frustrating to watch the Dodgers pile on, but they're a good baseball team. It's not like it was the Oakland A's doing that. I mean, you know, you're looking at one of the better teams in the majors right now. And one of the things that I found interesting was Freddie Freeman after the series. I can't remember who they played next. I could probably figure it out, but there was a small interview with him where he was kind of like they were, you know, he kind of gave the they were who we thought they were you know, quote, and we still couldn't contain them. Like, we had every, we were ready to go. We had, we were fully prepped for
plan
them.
Plan was in place.
Plan was in place, and everybody's got a plan until you get smashed in the mouth with a folding chair. So, you know, it's one of those things where for the Jays to walk in there, you know, just chests out. I mean, at no point did they not look like they were winning that series. Like, even when they lost the game, it was just like, yeah, you know, we're pretty good, and we're going to keep, we're going to keep coming at you.
So
it's fun to watch, fun baseball right now.
So going to where the Blue Jays are going to. So let's say nothing crazy happens over the trade deadline. They don't net Marcus Stroman to be the other seventh starter, sixth starter, whatever the hell you want to call it at this point, because Hyunjin Ryu is starting tomorrow. So they are officially going to what we rumored around with a couple of weeks ago, guys, that they are going to a six-man rotation until probably somebody wins out after this extended long road trip, home game trip, everything. They're playing another, you know, 2 weeks in a row, basically, from tonight. They don't have another off day until Monday, the 14th of August. So tonight is just continuing this stretch that they're on right now, where they don't have any off days for a extended long time. Mm-hmm. So the six-man rotation does make sense for the time frame they're in. After that, things go back a little bit to normal until you get to late September and or mid-September, basically, and then it comes into 10-game spurts, right? But at the end of the day, this is lining things up that so you're not burning out Kevin Gausman. You're not burning out Jose Berríos, who's having a really, really resurgent year. This is just lengthening up those innings so that they're saving each of those guys two starts, I think, is really what the aggregate is, two, three of them here, if you're able to keep them off of that normal 5-day rest the next few weeks. But to that point, are either of you excited to see Hyunjin Ryu come back tomorrow? I know he's been a very up and down Toronto Blue Jay pitcher, but he has shown some really good promise so far in the minor leagues. What do you think?
I'm thinking it's going to be great to see him back. How was his performance? Like, I think he was performing really well. It was a double A, triple A while he was getting back into the swing of things. But
he's made two, three good starts in triple A at this point.
And what a first game back playing against the Orioles.
I know, right? Welcome back.
They couldn't give us the A's or the White Sox first. Like they did with Manoah, right? I think we had like those, I think it was the White Sox or something that Manoah got his form back, at least for that start. I would love to see Ryu like that, because you can tell it's going to be heavily scrutinized. Either he's going to do really well, or he's going to give up a bunch of dingers, and then everyone's going to say, oh, see, he's no good. I'm like,
no. And there's no guarantee of a ton of run support from the Blue Jays tomorrow, too, with Kyle Bradish being the gentleman pitching for the Baltimore Orioles tomorrow, who's pitching to the tune of a 3.29 ERA right now, and he's got a barely over one walks hits per inning.
I think some of the thought is, or what the hope is probably, is that Ryu can get four. You know, I think that they've, now that they've got some horses in place to try and eat up some of those innings in between, like, obviously you don't want the Jays relievers pitching as much as they are right now, which you know, as it gets later into the games, the same guys are coming out and they're pitching three, four, five times in a row, usually not five, but at least four. And
to that point, I think they made the counter move that you're looking for, though. They brought Bowden Francis back up today Jay Jackson going out for family reasons for the next couple of days. So they were able to bring a pawn guy up to
I like that Jay Jackson guy.
Gotta
love him coming off the field and yelling and screaming. He so loud you could hear it up in the booth. I was like, wow, that's awesome, dude. Like just having a game out there. So I mean, it's I feel like, you know, like, is it possible that we could play the Orioles and the Guardians anymore over the next 2 months? Like, geez, Louise, did we lose some sort of bet that we had to play them so often? Wow, and then it's Tampa Bay and the Yankees for a month and a half.
Your only spell in that whole Kansas City. The next month is Kansas City.
Well, you've got Colorado.
You got the Nationals at the end of the month of August.
Yeah, that's not bad. The Washington, Colorado, Oakland, Kansas City. That might be a good way to warm the bats up and get some rest for some guys and really come into that last part of the schedule. Cause that's the last part of Ken. I don't know if you've seen it or not, but from September 20th to October 1st, they don't play anyone but the Yankees or the Rays.
Yes.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Yeah, 12 games in a row. The three before that are the four before that are the Rangers and the Red Sox. So
yeah,
not the to easiest point, way.
They have 2 weeks to really get their stuff right.
Yeah.
You know, from August 28th to September 11th.
Yeah.
Playing teams that are not even, they're sellers at the best right now, you know? Yeah. So,
well, this really put
the Rockies just traded their best players.
Wow. Yeah. That's really going to put the test to us right then. Right. So like to show how good we really are, if we can beat the team, beat the best, that's what we need to be. If we want to really progress into the playoffs, potentially take it all the way, is that, you know, it's not going to be many easy games. You know, I think we love having, you know, the White Sox and the A's here and there, but eventually we are going to have to play the teams that are really, really good or really give us a lot of problems.
My favorite team from the National League just made a trade.
Oh, do we have a new one hot off the presses?
The Cincinnati Reds have acquired Sam Moll from the Athletics, or Moll, M-O-L-L. Anyways, not a huge deal, but... No. I will say this about, I'm a Cincinnati Reds fan from a long time ago. When I lived in Ontario, we used to drive down to Florida to watch spring training as a, you know, my family. And, when I was about 6 years old or 7 years old, Johnny Bench picked me up and put me onto the field. And so I was out there with the That's Reds and I seem to always have an affinity for them from that point going on. My one son, Carter, and I often talk about who the best catcher is in all baseball history, and I always default to Johnny Bench. And so we've done a lot of – him and I have done a lot of sort of looking into the other guys I like Gary Carter and a few other dudes. But, I mean, Johnny Bench was a hell of a baseball player. And that Reds team right now, I mean, if you had $50 lying around that you wanted to make a fun bet on, holy, would they be a good World Series bet right now?
That'd be
a fun
one.
Ellie De La Cruz, like, seriously, if he's not a total mutant, you know, if Otani's not from another planet, De La Cruz certainly is.
to quote one of my other favorite movies, they might just be a mutants from Table 9.
Yeah. That's a good one.
The wedding snare.
And apparently the Reds have another kid in their system who's as good or better than De La Cruz, and they're going to let him marinate down there for another season or another half a season, or I don't know, maybe they'll bring him up. But definitely the Reds are the one to watch, I think, in the NL, Braves and Reds. But yeah, I mean, it's...
I just watched somebody also that's way too hot right now, and that is Orioles hitter Gunnar Henderson, who just knocked a solo home run over the right field bleachers for the Orioles.
Is it 2-0?
It's 3-0. 3-0.
That's
in
it,
the top of the third.
Only the third, guys. Only the third.
Still got time. So, Chris Bassitt, I can't say gave a bad pitch either, but... Gunnar Henderson's too good of a player to leave in that spot. So that kid might be one of the best infielders in baseball in the next few years. It very well could be.
Oh, for sure.
So
that whole Orioles team is nuts.
That's why I was saying this. They should just pay however much it is to bring Verlander, Scherzer, Otani, whoever the hell to help this team, because what do they got to lose?
Nothing.
You know,
win three or four.
You give up a few prospects or just take all the money from them. You know, it's like, okay, go fine. We'll take Scherzer's money. Just fucking give them to me.
Well, but the one thing the Orioles have going for them
now,
not spending
any money on anything.
This is where the Orioles could make a move like this, is they have been selling out all year. For the first time in years, the place is absolutely packed. Like, every single game is a, if it's not a complete sellout, it's close. And I was watching a thing on it, and they said it's been 6 years since they've even come close to these numbers. And I mean, it's great for Baltimore. You know, it's one of those things where they stuck with. Do you remember when they had the first game in the lockout in COVID when no one was there?
Oh,
and
so
they were
weird, turning
people away. People were still trying to come to the game, and there's no one in the crowd. And I mean, for them to have, you know, the support that they do have. I mean, I don't want them to win, but I mean, it's nice to see them win. You know what I mean? Like if you've got it's like when the Cubs won the World Series. I didn't necessarily want the Cubs to win, but down deep, I really did want the Cubs to win.
I did the same. Well, that we knew one curse was ending during that series.
Yep. Yeah.
would be the Indians or the Chicago Cubs. But the other fun part about that whole thing is, regardless of how you just said, I understand I'm not rooting for the Orioles or anything, but if it comes down to a lot of teams and they're the ones in the World Series, right now with where these teams are lining up, unless they're playing the Brewers, I'm probably going to be rooting for the Baltimore Orioles. But I'm going to be slightly jealous at the same time because I'm like, how come they get to build up a team from scratch as quickly as they did? And we get shafted. You know? That was supposed to be our thunder as Blue Jays fans with the Vlad Bowes.
Stealing our thunder.
Ballpark. So, but to that point, guys, speaking of stealing thunder, should we talk about how Ken probably won another week of Picks the Click? I'm just kidding. Is there anything else topic wise the two of you would like to talk out before we do get this wrapped up so we can go watch the rest of the ball game here?
No, all good.
Nope. Ken,
all good. I'm good.
Are you throwing a brick of money or a brick of prospects in the next 24 hours? Do you think the Blue Jays make any major moves or grab a Marcus Stroman or something? Do you think there's another move coming, or do you think we're done?
My thinking is that there is the potential for two. I think that there's the potential for Tim Anderson still. I still feel like the Tim Anderson thing is still there. I feel like with the White Sox trying to just wholesale, I mean, sending a guy like Espinal to the White Sox in exchange for Tim Anderson and a prospect would probably be a very good deal for the Jays. And then I'm still thinking that there is the possibility of Stroman, but I think it got less and less as they made the two.
Anderson's an interesting one, and I know there's some smoke to that because it keeps coming up, but you know he has a club option for next year too, right?
Yeah, I know. So, but I mean, he can play short, he can play two, he can play the outfield. Like, I mean, he is Whit Merrifield with that it's hits home runs.
With power.
Yeah. I mean, it's if you could get Tim Anderson, that would be a major league steal, a major league steal. Like you would be, you know, and especially if you could get him for not a lot. Like I wouldn't want them to give up the farm to get him. But, you know, if you could get him for, like I said, like Espinal or Biggio and, both. You know, maybe, both. Maybe a good prospect outfielder or catcher or something that were, you know, would probably never, ever make it to the majors would have to really work his way there. But I don't know.
Yeah, he's got $12 million this year, $14 million next year with a club option. So, you know,
it's a good deal.
It's a good deal. And to that point, you would know he'd be whoever team takes him from the White Sox would probably be taking that.
Yeah. So, yeah.
If they want a prospect in return, that's not a cheap player. It's not an expensive player as far as major league money, especially somebody with his upside. It'd be interesting to see where that goes. No, that's a fun one.
That's mine. That's my one.
Ken, or you want to add anything?
I'm just excited to see
what's intrigued.
I'm curious to see what, like you said, I think there might be a potential for a move. I don't know how many moves though. That's what I'm kind of curious.
No. I'm wondering if this is it. I really am. So we're going around the whole circle here because I really think they're in that moment right now that they accomplished what they wanted to do. They wanted to build out the bullpen, but if they get anything else on top of that, they're happy rather than
bonus,
you know. They're not feeling like they're settling at this point. They're feeling like, hey, we accomplished something. We're a vastly improved team with the depth they built up in their bullpen as of, you know, last week.
So, I'm going to sprinkle Tay Oscar in there too, now that I've opened my big fat mouth.
There it is. So no wrong answers. I honestly think that would be a nice win. No wrong answers. I guess the biggest question is what we're going to have to do this week if we all of a sudden do have a splash. So we're going to have a Tuesday, Wednesday.
We'll have a Tuesday. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So, all right. Let's talk Fix a Click and wrap this one up, boys. So, last week I had Kirk.
He was pretty good.
We had Double K for Mr. Jason Lyons.
He was not good.
Vladdy for Ken. And we have Dalton Varsho in the guest spot. Unfortunately, Varsho, I think, is definitely a no-show. Yeah. But he gets carried over for this coming week. Let me pull it up because Whit Merrifield or Alejandro Kirk had pretty very Kirk similar might have been better. Days.
Yeah, it might have been Kirk.
Kirk had two home runs, four RBIs. Where's Kiermaier? Kiermaier batted 300, but didn't have the home runs or the RBIs to go with it. So you all actually going to give me a win for a change is what I'm hearing. My man crush Monday and Alejandro Kirk gets me a win finally.
There you go. Big Craig.
There you go.
So I untied with Jason with three now. Don't call it a comeback. I only got how many more to go? Same thing with Jason to catch up with you, Ken. I'm wondering if that's even mathematically possible.
Oh, we'll get him. One of us will.
Still early in the season, guys.
The runner-up trophy before we
can. I just send take Whit Merrifield for the rest of the season.
That would be my pick.
On that point, Jason, if you want to go first, go right ahead.
Ooh, okay.
So he's gonna be that guy now, Ken.
You know what? I'm gonna go on a hunch here, and I am going to take Varsho.
Still carried over in the
that's right, he's in the guest spot.
So we get a guest
Varsho. What can I do? You know what, let's the caution of the wind, we're going double B Brandon Belt.
Oh, okay,
double B, the BB, the Capitan.
Yep, El Capitan Beardo.
All right, Ken, your turn.
I think I might have to go with Jensen again. Like, he's just something that there's just something about him that in the clutch he seems to be pulling it off. So, you know, if we do pull a comeback, we might have that chance.
Yeah, and to that point, I think Danny Jansen and Kirk are going to be very much so what we saw at the end of last year over the next few months, unless we all of a sudden do get the person that we were talking about here in the Tim Anderson, a Teoscar Hernandez. I think that DH spot is going to be for one of the two of them. And I'm not saying that Brandon Belt's doing horrible, because he's doing exactly what I would have actually assumed Brandon Belt would have done this year, other than the fact that I kind of would have figured he'd be approaching double-digit home runs right now. But that's just because that ballpark, I thought, was really going to help him in the midst of translating from, you know, what is the biggest ballpark in baseball, I believe, in San Francisco, to the Rogers Center, who is not that big. So crazy fun. And to that point, now I have to do some thinking, because I was going to go back to back catchers this week. So I think I'm going to pick Vlad. I think this is going to be the week that he turns it on. I think the words that Matt Chapman and everything showing his fire are going to light it up for Vlad this week.
That's awesome.
Good.
Do you guys want to hear an incredible stat?
Sure.
Bring it.
Danny Jansen's last 162 games, he has 37 home runs and 110 RBIs.
It's kind of nuts, isn't it? That's a season.
It's not kind of nuts. That's insane.
Let's hope he continues.
That's a silver slugger. Just saying.
Wow, that's bonkers.
No, just to show you how far AI has come, I've been goofing around with helping me generate the stuff for the trivia stuff, right? I know I need to look it up and fact check that shit, because the internet is the internet.
Oh, yeah.
Do you want to know what Blue Jay player it said won the 2019 Silver Slugger Award?
Who won it?
Which Blue Jay player won one of the Blue Jays that won a 2019 Silver Slugger Award, because it's a full-on, flat-out lie. It was Danny Jansen. It was one of the ones that said won a Silver Slugger. Danny Jansen has not won a Silver Slugger Award. Did you see the trivia I posted right before the show tonight?
No, I was too busy eating graham crackers animal crackers.
I can't get this one. So I'm curious to see if you guys get the three there out of this whole thing. And I'm probably going to have to bring it up to get it all straight. I always forget the third person in the trade. So talking trade deadline baseball, the Blue Jays obviously have been very proficient over the last few years at the trade deadline. Who were the three Blue Jays prospects that we traded for David Price in 2015?
I have no clue.
I got two of them. I never get the third, because I was a big fan of one of them. It wasn't the one that lived in a van.
Wasn't one of them? One of them was Daniel Norris, wasn't it?
He would be the one that lived in a van.
Yeah, that was.
The river though.
That guy was a dude. I can't remember. I mean, you know. Matt Boyd
would have been the favorite I enjoyed.
I can't remember the third. I can't remember the third at all.
And nobody will get the third one. I don't care what
Blue Jay. No, I'm going to gaggle it and see.
Hario Laborte.
Oh, yeah. That's what a name. Yeah, that's a fake name. That's the fakest name I've ever heard.
Yeah.
That's the name that my first fake ID had on it when I got it from King Studio down on Granville Street.
I want to say that actually parts of that word Bort might be actually a Simpsons
Bort,
joke for one.
It is. Yes, I was going to say. It's a Bort. It's when it's they go to Super Happy Fun Land or whatever.
Why would they have Bort?
No, yeah, it's the whole thing.
We're all out of Bort license plates.
That's it. And he said, my son's name is also Bort.
Bort. I told my kids that they have to have their kids named after Bort. So all my grandson named Bort.
Gotta love Bort Simpson.
Good deal. Is there anything else that you gentlemen would like to add? Go ahead.
Yeah, RIP to a person who molded my comedic life the whole way through. Paul Rubens died today at the age of 70. Pee Wee Herman, possibly the first imitation that I learned how to do as a kid. And I don't pride myself on being a really great imitation guy, but there's about 9 that I can do really well. And Pee Wee Herman was always one of them. I mean, just the whole thing, just, you know, all of it. And it was so goofy and so idiotic, and but it was clean and it seemed wholesome. And, you know, there was funny jokes way deep down in there. And you know, just it's interesting when, like, because my kids have never seen it. Like I said today, this morning, I'm like, Pee Wee Herman died. And they're like, who's that? I mean, they're 12. So how would they know?
Yeah.
But I mean, for everyone that's my age, that's one of those ones where it's like, damn it. Like Pee Wee's Big Adventure, Cherry, you know, like
I'm not going to lie. Every time somebody uses a big word, like during a conversation, still to this day, I go, that's the word of the day. You know, it's just, it's so stupid. Good. It gets a good joke across.
So stupid. Yeah.
Ken, if you want to show your kids, and I'm going to show my daughter this too, on WWE's Twitter account and stuff and Instagrams, they actually posted a bunch of videos of when Pee Wee was actually the host.
Oh, yeah, he was the guest host of Raw. I remember that.
And I forgot completely all about this. And there's a part where he's doing a monologue back and forth with The Rock, and it was just comedic gold. And then there was all sorts of stuff that he, you know, the word of the day was ring. So somebody came out, and I think it was The Miz, and he's like, yelling at Pee Wee Herman, he goes, I'm gonna kick your ass and throw you out of this ring, and then and then the Big Show comes out dressed as Big Wee and throws the Miz over the ropes.
Pee Wee, Big Wee. Oh boy.
Yeah. So but anyways, good point, Jason. I wanted to make sure we mentioned something on that just because it is all political
iconic.
Fun
it's
and
pop iconic. Aside. It's affected correct. All of our lives, yeah.
Correct. All right. On that note, Blue Jays fans, if there is any major trade deadline news, we will be back. There will be a second show this week. Watch out for it. We'll advertise it just like we did before this show on this. Make sure you do tune in every week for, you know, our show live Monday evenings at 7 o'clock Eastern. Any other breaking stuff, we are going to do our best as we are now approaching playoff season and the run for the pennant. And we will make sure we're here for you all the time as much as humanly possible. Blue Jays fans, make sure you also listen in weekly and whatever we do, any other special releases, wherever you get your podcasting pleasures from, on Spotify, iTunes, all that kind of good stuff. We are there and we are ready to talk. And we saw plenty of you coming in this evening. Make sure you join these chats. We're happy to display your info with your question and everything right on the screen. Happy to have you as part of the conversation as we are Jay Bird Watching, the Barroom Chat for Toronto Blue Jays fans, part of jaysjournal.com, fan side network. All right. Ready, boys? 1, 2, 3. Woo! Let's go, Blue Jays.
Charlie Gruber. Thank you for listening to the Jay Bird Watching Podcast. Please follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Twitch, at BirdWatchingGC, and our YouTube channel. If you want to support the show and get extra content, please consider joining it to our Patreon at patreon.com/BirdWatchingGC. Go Jays, go.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.